This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, we're good. So we're holding here in the middle of Nesiv Kaya Chayetza, and it says, I think we're holding the second paragraph, and we're up here Kacholul. Is that what we've
yeah,
got?
Exactly there.
Yeah. Okay. In other words, it will make peace with you. It'll come back to you. So the question is, he's telling you an Eitzah, what to do that turns the Eitzah around. And we saw last time a little bit. And there seem to be two Eitzahars. One is Rav Sanacha Achilei Lechem. And if it's tzame ashkeu mayim, so what are these two inyanim? Benira kilefi medrash chachamim nemaze al shnei yetzahara shehuskuru bechol makom. We're talking about two yetzaharas. Ha'echad yetzahara shaveira, the hainu znus vu beguf ha'adam. That's one. And the second one is Vasheni Yetzahor Shavarazor Vubanefeshor Ushneim Atorim Vatelos Oysom. Both of them Torahs Mevatel. Uperikam Rektushin Torah Bishmol Bini Impogra Bechom Menuvel Zemash Chabes Medrish Im Evenun Im Muach Im Basm Ispoitzis Shem Lakoytu Ag Eshtom Ashoik Patrifaitis Sela. So Lamaisi says that there are two dargis of Ra of Yetzahor. One is Nus and one is Deus and Avodah Zarah. So let's talk a second about these two Nikudas. The Chalik of Avodah Zarah, so I don't remember we spoke last time, but the Inyan of the Inyan of being Mevatli Yitzhar with Torah and so on is not a clash of enemies, but it's the pshat, it's something which you give it its fulfillment by it and thereby eliminate it. So I guess I can give you a mashal. If a kid, let's say, is very cranky and it's because he's hungry or tired, if you feed him what you need to feed him, so then he's no longer hungry. You don't have to fight the crankiness itself, you fight the hunger or the thirst, and he's no more that. Many of the issues of Ra, of the Koyach HaYesa we talk about, is when a person has in himself Koyachas HaNefesh. And these Koyachas HaNefesh have not found fulfillment, then Ra is going to set in. Let's give an example. If a person doesn't have what to eat, he's going to steal, because he needs what to eat. If a person doesn't get enough attention, he's going to look for COVID and make very, very proactive efforts at getting COVID and so on. It's true across the board. So when we're talking about one of them being Yitzra of Avodah Zarah, we can understand. A person has a need for some sort of God. In the sense, a person recognizes a power above, a person recognizes there is something else in the world. The easiest thing for him is to latch on to a local god. So if a person is very overwhelmed by mountains, by huge mountains, the mountain becomes a god. Or the thunder, it's a mistaken calculation about which is the right God or not, but more than that, it fulfills a need of having a certain God. when you have in the communist nations and in dictatorships, the reason why a personality cult worked was because people had a need for a sense of where's everything coming from and what's in control, and we have a receptor for that, and we latch on to if somebody makes Stalin into the god. So Stalin is the god. That is one. So when a person learns Torah, Torah gives him the sense of understanding the world, Mayim Bosa, Lanat HaHoylech, Malamala. So all of these things, Torah fulfills that. So when a person has, one of the reasons why a person might have a problem in Deus is because he needs to have an answer. And by the way, again, we'll digress a moment or two. I'll tell you something that David Gottlieb from Osameach, who's a big Makarev, and he's a very brainy person, he's a professor in logic, philosophy. He once told me something fascinating. He said, nobody's ever becomes religious because of the intellectual argument, but you need to satisfy the intellectual argument in order to be religious. So for many people, it's not a question of who's right, who's wrong, where you can sit and prove something. Like, I always feel you can't, in these things, you can't prove anything, but it's more than that. If you go to one place and what they give you is a little song and dance and a spiel that's not terribly deep or enlightening in any way, and the other person presents something that has a lot of depth to it, then that's where you go. It's not because you're weighing one against the other. You're weighing the entire experience thereof. What's the quality of this person versus the quality of that person? And if you feel that this absolutely doesn't address anything to your intellect, and this very much addresses it, then you go to it. And it's not, again, it's not a question of debating back and forth pros and cons of each side. It's not even a race. So when a person, and one of the reasons, for instance, when you talk about people going off the derech or whatever it is, there are many, many reasons. Most of them have to do a lot more with Yitzhar Vodazor than Yitzhar Arayas. The Yitzhar Arayas than Yitzhar Vodazor. But even Yitzhar Vodazor, the typical case is not someone debated X versus Y. Most of the time, it goes as follows. The person has had a very shallow experience, and it's one of the things that hurts me. I see it around the area where I am. You have a lot of very nice kids going to a very modern Orthodox high school, co-ed, and maybe for a year in Israel in one of the, programs of a kind of a weaker Hezeh type place. They come back and they go to university. So if the kid is a little bit of a deeper kid, a brighter kid, then at some point he says to himself, listen, the whole worldview that I've been exposed to in high school and in that year program in Israel is kind of very, very shallow and simple. I'm now at university and people are deep and intelligent and make meaningful points, and it's a different world. And some people just go off the derech, period. Even worse than that, I'd say, some people stay within the fold because as a lifestyle they like it, but they believe none of it really. They really see that it's, in the great halls of universities is where there's depth, intellectual depth and emes, and and religion is just a very, very nice cultural thing, that's that. So that's for Yitzhak. So if a person sits and learns, and in a meaningful way, that becomes that, and that's a that's one point. That's the easy one to understand. The tougher one to understand is Yitzhak Darius. I mean, yes, I guess by definition, if you're busy learning base medrash, you're not doing anything else. But where does that address the Yitzhak Darius? So there's there's a Zohar HaKadosh that says as follows. He says, it brings a very fascinating story. It says that one of the Tanoim was walking, and I think he met Rabbi Yehuda, and asked him, since the Yetzer Hara of Arias is so bad, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevatel Yetzer of Arias, and just leave it over for having children? And he answers, he said that Ilmole Yetzer Hara, it says, Ilmole Yetzer, I think, says, Chedves of the Shmaitz Eloi Lahavi, there would be no joy of learning. So the joy of learning is touches a person in a way similar, parallel to the Yitzhak Arayis. You have in many Rebbeim for it, Lamashal on Atzeret on Shavuos, you have Shtei Lechem, which is really, lechem is something that has tam to it. It says, if Torah barasi, Yetzar barasi, Torah tavlin. I created Torah as a tavlin. So the word tavlin seems to be used in this case as sort of a medication. Even though the word tavlin traditionally is something that is, it's something that is, a spice, a condiment, but the way we understand it, it really is means that. You know, it's the pashto pshat is it's the word tavel in this case means a medication. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yetzirah, created Torah as a medication, but it is really a much deeper point. And I saw this in the Rambam actually. He says, "Vazet Torah tavlin" means it's something which Torah is the flavor. If a person, imagine if a person could just learn, could just keep mitzvahs. In other words, all of the learning, all of the Yiddishkeit would be doing mitzvahs by dictate. You have to do this, you have to do this, and so on and so forth. So a person would do it, but he would have no enjoyment thereof, and no cheshik. And if Yitzhak Darius came opposite that, there'd be an uneven match. It would be tainug versus nothing, and that wouldn't work. Torah's tablet. Torah is just like the Sor Shabi Isa. It's fascinating. On Pesach we eat matzah, which is devoid of chametz, because chametz is the Itzahara and so on and so forth. Shavuos, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Yetzer was batul, and you know Bani Amarte Himatem the Elyon Kulchem. And Misa would have been bottled, so on. There was some sort of bittle. We have the Sor again. So why? One would think that on Shavuos we'd eat the dry, you know, matzah that's even drier than Pesach, no Yetzer whatsoever. The answer is, Torah's Maila is that it allows for the Yetzer Hara to be expressed, for the Tainug of Yetzer Hara to be expressed in something else. So, let's give an example. A person who is bored stiff will sort of will tend to head towards Arias. That's the most pleasurable, easiest Yetzer Hara, and that's he'll drift towards Arias. A person who is involved in an activity that he very much enjoys, so he might, if given a choice first, he might think, well, maybe Arias is more enjoyable, but at the end of the day, as long as he's into something where there's pleasure in it, he won't be pointed harayas. The element of pleasure that can be as powerful as the pleasure of arayas is the Eir of Torah. A person who enjoys it, a person who has in it a very strong sense of tainug, there's zelumase. So the chiddush Torah as a dimension in mitzvahs, which is something that is deeper than that, then it gives you the havana and the haskala of it, and that gives you and that becomes a tavlin for the tzahara, and that's the chedrus of the shmeitzer. I want to add another piece, I guess, we're kind of before Lag Bomer, and you know, sort of heading towards. I'm sure that's Israel. Everybody has their logs ready and so on. Here we actually anticipating heavy rains, so it's not geared like rain is not so easy to celebrate here. But in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure the logs are there. I want to talk a little bit about some of the yichud of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's Torah. The chelik of Torah that this is identified with is Taimei Torah. The pnimius of Torah, just like tam is the pnimius of an oichel, tam is the pnimius of Torah, and there are quite a few similarities in many ways. The Torah itself, just like when a person eats, so the bulk of what he's doing is eating food, but his personal experience lies in the tam. So here it is, I'm eating a big watermelon, let's say, and it's X amount of pounds of food, and yet, as far as I'm concerned, it's the tam of it, the mesikos and so on, that I'm really occupied with. Whatever it is that's going on outside, it's not, my sensation not of having eaten X amount of grams of watermelon, it's the tam shabai. The musig of tam ki'ikr in halacha is that when the Torah says at the end of the day, the point of the issa lies in the tam, rather than or of the ikr, it's the tam that's significant. So in Torah also, yeah, you cannot have tam without the oichel. Tam is something that by itself is a ne'elam, and it's something that is a it's what's inside something else. You tam.
Well, what is man? Is man tam without?
I'm sorry, man. So man, excellent. Man is something that is outside of this world. Let's explain that a second. Your point with man is a very, very good point. Just like in this world, someone who only deals with Pnimius HaTorah and not with Ma'is HaMitzvahs is a Rasha. A person says, you know, I'm way beyond this, and I'm involved in much deeper and higher machshavas. And it's true that people in low madrigas need to put on tefillin every day and need this and that. I'm in a world where this and that. That person is a Rasha. And that was the one of the most important, if not the most important, tension between Chassidim and Misnagdim. Chassidim's argument was, since the Tam of Torah is the Iker, we need to focus on that. And the details and of the practice of it, we need to learn less of it and not to be so uptight about keeping it. You know, a lulav and esrog has nothing to do with it has to do with simcha. So you spend your time focusing on building up simcha sukkos instead of looking how many dots the lulav and esrog has. That shita, that approach was labeled extremely dangerous by the Misnagdim, the Goyen of Chaim Volozhin, who articulated it, and rightfully so. In this world, there's no such thing as tam without the ikker. It's all artificial flavors and carcinogenic. If it's not the thing itself. So in this world itself, for a person to walk around to be miyach yichud without this man, I think I said over a few times, but it's a worthy for it to say over again and again. From the Imri Emes, actually, the Imri Emes was the third Gerer Rebbe. The Rebbe that preceded him was the Sfas Emes, who really created Gerer Chassidus. I mean, Chedush Arim did, but Sfas Emes was the cornerstone. And Chedush Arim and the Sfas Emes had organized the Chassidus in a certain way. One of the things was that Shabbos morning you daven 10 o'clock. That was Gerer. So you woke up at 7 o'clock, you went to the mikveh, you learned through the parasha with all the medrash and whatever else they did, and then he went to daven. The Sfas Emes died. His son, the Imri Emes, said at the week after the Shiva, he said, Zman Krishma is 8 o'clock, we're davening 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Shachris. Chassidim were devastated. I mean, it was their whole world that turned upside down. It just, for them, Yiddishkeit was waking up at 7 o'clock, going to a meeting, that. Now it would be very different. And they wanted a larger protest, very, very tricky for Chassidim to lodge a protest. He's the Rebbe supposed to know. So they got three of the Skenim to come in, and they told the Rebbe, you know, the Rebbe's on a very high madrega. The Rebbe can wake up at any time and be Eivir Hashem, isn't that? For us, ever since we've been waking up davening so early, where our davening is just a pale shadow of what our davening used to be like. So he answered them very laconically, very typical Ger / Kusk fashion. He said, Il mole hayim ma'arvim bar kurtav shol dvash, ein adam yochel lam v'rechoy. In other words, if they would have mixed in one drop of honey into the Ketores, that smell would have overwhelmed the world. That would have been a Ketores of an infinitely greater olfactory experience. So why don't you? Because the pasuk says so. That was it. That was his whole. In other words, what he said was, I'm not arguing with you about what's a geshmaker davening. It just so happens that the Torah demands an earlier davening, and that's what we start with. That was sort of that was the approach of this word. But if you ask ourselves, lo sid lovay, or when a person in the higher darga, in Olam Haba, where we don't have a guf, or the guf is kaddish, or whatever it is, the content of Torah will remain constant, its expression will be different. In this world, Torah expresses itself in such and such a way. It's just like a mathematical formula can express itself on a graph, and it can express itself in fact. Gravity is a mathematical formula, the rate of the falling of something. You can plot it on a graph and show you what it looks like on a graph. And you can sit under a tree and have an apple bop you, and you'll see very quickly how quickly the apple travels depending where it is, and so on and so forth. So the chitzoinus of Torah is just a chetimtza. But so going back to what you mentioned, Peter, man was an oichel of malachi asheris. It was a food that was kulei tam and didn't really have any psoilus. It entered the avarim and didn't exit, and that's why people were very distraught. It was not a physical thing, and we can't cope with it because it doesn't satisfy our guf. It keeps us alive, but it doesn't satisfy our guf. So the man itself was an example of a lifestyle which was beyond lifestyle of normal people that people could do, but that was a month. So Reb Shimon Yochai's Torah, it dealt with the panemius of Torah, and that's why when they say there's no machlokes between Shulchan Aruch and the Zohar, even though there are a whole bunch of cases where there are, the Zohar is always talking about mitzad the panemius ha'inyan. Let's give an example. If you ask me how much support does a bridge need to hold up 100 cars, my answer would be X. But you never build a bridge that way on a practical level, because sometimes the cars are heavier than you expect. Sometimes you have more cars crowded than you would have thought. Sometimes you have a bus with Hasidim dancing on it, the Nananach truck, and they put more pressure on it. In other words, there's a guideline for reality, there's a guideline for the theory Shabbat. The theory of Shabbat is very exact, and it says this is what's needed to support it. The reality is, and sometimes somebody broke off a piece of metal, whatever it is. So the Torah of Chutz that we have is much more vital for us, and therefore we need to treat it that way. That's the physical Torah that we have. But Mitzad the Panimius is the time of Torah, and the timing of Torah. And that's the chedvus of the shmeitza of Rav Shimon Choyer gave us. When a person understands amkus, something omoik, there's a tremendous amount of tainug in that, because that's where the tainug lies. Just like tam always lies in the panimius of the oichel, it's the flavor that came out from it. Even if we just let's hagav atzmecha. A child who's very, very simple and physical, the flavors that he enjoys are very, very coarse. In other words, I want something that's heavily, we can add sickeningly, sweet. Leaves no room for doubt that this is a piece of sugared candy, of all sugar, all red, all cherry, and that's it. As an adult becomes a little more sophisticated, refined, the person likes undertones of flavors. Sometimes I read a label on a wine bottle. I don't know anything, I mean, I don't have any real Havana in wine, but those labels are really, some are really remarkably poetic about the notes that hit you and the soft undertones and the hints, and there's a whole Megillah, but there's a truth to it. As a person becomes an adult, his enjoyment of time isn't something that lies more in, something that you need to taste within something else, a hint of something. The chelik of Torah that creates the tainuk, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, let's go one step further with it. In the person's own kochos hanefesh and gestalt, the physical sensation is bachutz. Lamashal, when I touch something that's velvety, the sensation of softness and texture and all of these are sensations in my fingers. I can program a computer to tell me what's velvet based on if the description of velvet is a certain sense of texture, then a computer can imitate that. Same thing with colors, sounds, across the board. The makom of tainug is in our brains. And the tainug that we have of something is in our minds. A computer will never have any tainuk. He will be able to faithfully sense what you're sensing, but there's no tainuk. And the variations in tainuk will depend on the person also. Let's take a very simple example. Most people enjoy a velvety sensation. That's kind of a norm. But imagine somebody Rachman Atzan had, I don't know, God forbid, a child who choked on a piece of velvet. Every time he touches velvet, it's going to feel like a dozen needles. It's going to feel like it's red hot. He will be in pain, even though he feels the same thing that the other person feels. But the sensation of tainug is a pneumistic sensation as regards to the chitzonius. It isn't the brain, literally. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and Mitzad mitzad the spheres and an hagas hakadosh baruch hu, the most pnimistic hanhaga is called tainuk. It's part of keser is tainuk. It means that tainuk is something that comes at the very very pnim of something. So if we're to ask ourselves, in Reb Shimon Yochai's accomplishment of being the one to be megala to us, the pnimius of Torah and so on, so that's another section of Torah. Correct, it's another section of Torah, and that's fine. But that wouldn't be different than if somebody would, we were missing a face of Mishnayis on Kachim or Mizikin, and somebody would produce that. So you find also different Tanoim. Some Tanoim had a predilection for some Masechtas of others. That's not Reb Shimon Yochai. Reb Shimon Yochai wasn't another. We were missing a 37th volume to Shas, and he came along with it. What he came along was, he uncovered for us the dimension of the Pnimius of Torah. And the Pnimius of Torah is that it is something which is the Pchinas Tainuk of Torah. Because the Tainuk always lies in the Pnim. When a person has a deeper understanding of something, there's a tremendous Tainuk to it. Besides Tainuk obviously being important in terms of person wanting Tainuk, in terms of replacing the Yetzirah and so on, that's all true, but there's another Nekuda that is kosher with this, that is really, really goes at the heart of, I would say, the Tachlis. The Tainug is the Hechetimtza for a person to be Mizdabek in something else. There's a Gemara Sanhedrin and a Rashi that speaks about Biyash Lo Kedarka and so on, and it says by Ben Noach, because it says V'dovak Be'ishto, so there's no Dibuk in that place because there's no Tainuk. The dveikus, the way in which a person is mizdabek to something, is only when there's tainug over there. If there's no tainug, it says the Gemara speaks about benor shvash chaver shlo kedak pato, my timer beishta lo ish chaver vidovak lo ish lo kedakri. So Rashi says over there that the reason why Shaloi Kedarka is not called the Dovak is because Dveikus is only Shayach when something is when there's Tainug in it. In a Hechetimtza that there's no Tainug, there's not Rashi says Shaloi Kedarka Enkan Dovak, there's no Dovak. Why? Shemitoich she'eino nenis bedova eino nedbekes imoy. Because she's not nene, she's not nidbak. In other words, a person can only become kosher to something that is tainug in it. And therefore, the ability to really be mizdabik to Torah, or better said, the proportion in which one can be mizdabik to Torah, there's always these things always graded, is totally, it's in direct proportion to how much tainug a person has to it. It's not only the pshat that if a person has a lot more tainug, he would like to spend more time with it. The tainug itself is that which gives him the dveikus to it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the activities surrounding the Davak the Ishtoi are the most, by far and away, the most pleasurable of activities, because since the Tachlis was to be Mizdabek, then only if there's extraordinary Tainug associated can there be extraordinary Dibuk. It's not, it's that itself, the Tainug itself is the vehicle for Dibuk. B'meila in Torah, in a certain sense, as sort of a Chonif of Matan Torah, I guess, if Reb Shimon Yochai opened up the chelik of Torah that allowed for us the extraordinary dveikus in Torah. The extraordinary dveikus in Torah, since it lies, it must lie with the path of Oneg, and since Oneg is bederach called the pnimius of something, so being megala the pnim, the tam, and the pnim of it is what allows for the dimension of Oneg and allows for the dimension of dveikus. So I guess getting back to Yitzhar Arayis, the pshat is, you know, Yitzhar Arayis is an offshoot of a tainug that's so intense that it creates a dveikus vishvishtoi. Zeluma said, the Rambam says, when he brings a pasuk, when the Rambam describes Avasatera, he talks about somebody that is lovesick. He says, ba'avosa tiske tomid is going on Torah, that it's very similar. This is the most intense physical tainuk, and the only thing that's comparable in terms of tainuk is Torah, and it's possible. And if a person is mizdabik in Torah through tainuk, then a person, we only have a receptor for one tainuk, and if we're dovek with Torah, we're not dovek something else. Okay, any questions? Okay, so we'll hold it here.
Okay,
bye.
Okay, thanks for Robiansky.
Okay, I got the Shabbos cult of
bye. Good Shabbos, bye bye.